to be here. Thank you for your kindness to us as well and all of that. We've enjoyed being able to stay here and all of you have come and greeted us, and we greatly appreciate your kindness to us. But as a pastor has already mentioned, my wife and I have been led of the Lord to go to Scotland as missionaries. And the Lord put that on our hearts while we were students at Crown College in Powell, Tennessee. At Powell, they have an extension campus in the UK. It's located in England. And we both had the opportunity to go and serve there for a semester. She went 2016 and I went 2018. And it was while we were there that we had the opportunity to, of course, we were still continuing our studies Tuesday through Thursday. But then on the weekends, we were able to actually go and work alongside these missionaries and just see the work that God is doing there. And also, as you go throughout the UK, a lot of places where God has been left, people are leaving him. They don't want anything to do with him anymore. As you go through the United Kingdom, there are a lot of empty church buildings. A lot of that is happening right now. But having said that, there's a special opportunity that the people that we're going to be working with has. We're working with the Crown Christian Heritage Trust. That's the group we were able to go and study alongside and work alongside before. But they're called a trust. It's like a charity. And each of these churches, as they get to a point where they can no longer support themselves, and they're going to have to close, they're going to have to do something with the building, the law actually says that they can either give that building to a charity or they have to sell the building and give the money to a charity. And the trust is a charity that they are able to do that. They can give those buildings to the trust. Right now, the trust has 9 church plants, and each of the buildings that they are meeting in or were meeting in, those buildings were given to them. They didn't have to pay a penny for them. The Lord provided that for us. And that's just something that God has given to us. And there are actually more buildings that are available. They're trying to give them to us. We just don't have the people to staff them, if that makes sense. So having said that, we need more missionaries to go. And I know that's something that every missionary says as they come through, but it's the truth. We need more missionaries to go. It's just like we need more missionaries. We need more people to go here. We need more people to go there as well. And so if you would please be in prayer for that. Be in prayer for us. We're praying about Scotland specifically. Of course, the work is already going on in England and Wales. We're wanting to move that ministry up into Scotland and church plant there. And so pray that more opportunities, more doors would open up in Scotland. We're praying about 3 specific cities at the moment. We're not set on any place just yet. But if you're praying about these, Glasgow, Dundee, and Edinburgh, we just want to know where the Lord would have us begin. We want to see many churches planted all throughout Scotland and throughout the world. But we want to know where the Lord wants us to start. So if you pray about that with us, we greatly appreciate it. We just got started on deputation back in October. And we're wanting to be finished with deputation by summer of 2024. And so we're praying for a speedy, quick, and safe process that we're able to get there as soon as possible. Obviously, if we can get there sooner than that, that would be great as well. But please do be in prayer for us in that sense. But if I could say this before we watch the video, there's a couple of things I want to encourage you with that the Lord is doing. He's already working there. 2 of the chapels, one of them in particular in Oxford, the building that they were meeting in, they have outgrown. And this has become the case in many of the places. The congregation has grown, and that is because they are seeing souls saved. They are seeing lives changed. They're seeing the congregation growing and wanting to go out and reach more people. And because of that, they can no longer meet in their building, and they're having to meet on a field that they're renting, under a tent. And at that moment, that's just what they're having to do. And we're praising the Lord that he has grown that congregation and that there's more people that are having a desire to serve the Lord. But they do also need a building to meet in. That's not a permanent thing that they're wanting to do. They want to have a building that they can go and sit, people can easily find it. The field that they're in right now, we were able to go and visit that back in December. It was a little bit difficult to find. But we want them to have something that is going to be easily available for people to come and hear the word of God preached and declared and hear the truth spoken. And so if you would please be in prayer for them and also praise the Lord that is going on. These churches are growing. But not only that, there's another church. As I was telling you, these buildings are closing down. And a lot of times these churches, they're taken and they're being turned into mosques, into bars and different things like that. But there was a building just across from this chapel. It was a bar. And they've been praying about this building, and finally within the past year and a half, that building, that bar had to close. And the Lord provided the money for them to purchase that building. The church was able to purchase that building, and they're able to use that now for Sunday school rooms, for teaching English as a second language, all these different things. The Lord has allowed them to have that building to extend their ministry even further. And so we're praising the Lord for that and how he's already working. We're just excited at what God is doing and excited to be able to go and be a part of that. So if you would, please do be in prayer for us. We're going to watch this video. It'll clear up everything that I just said and make it a little more simpler. And I hope you enjoy it. But thank you so much for allowing us to come and present this morning. I'll come back right after and preach. Thank you.
You might be better served if you're standing back here.
The United Kingdom was once one of the brightest beacons of the gospel. Men like Charles Spurgeon, David Livingston, and Charles Wesley began their ministries here. The great Welsh revival that shook the world for Christ had its epicenter in Britain, but the light of the glorious gospel that once shone so brightly from this place has long gone dim. In 2006, God called a young couple out of the Temple Baptist Church in Powell, Tennessee to begin a gospel work in the United Kingdom. He provided a little chapel in Blackheath that had closed and was supposed to be demolished and turned into a parking lot. There, God began miraculous work. Soon, others joined them. Today, the Crown Christian Heritage Trust has been given a total of 9 chapels, 8 in England and 1 in Wales. One of the most recent to open is in Carlisle, England, just 8 miles outside the border of Scotland. The vision of the Crown Christian Heritage Trust is to see gospel ministry started across the United Kingdom and into mainland Europe. We are Chris and Natalie McPike. As students at Crown College, we had the opportunity to spend a semester at Crown Hall, their extension campus in the UK, and the headquarters of the Crown Christian Heritage Trust. We spent 3 months training and participating in missionary work alongside missionaries from the Trust. While there, the Lord burdened our hearts to return, specifically to Scotland.
Chris and Natalie McPike are wonderful young people. They've served God faithfully with us here at the Temple Baptist Church and Crown College, and they believe God's call on their life is to go to Scotland to do the Lord's work. They're going to be working with the Christian Heritage Trust there, and we pray for them. They're going to do a mighty job for the Lord. We're going to stand with them and support them, and I'm going to turn to do the same. Pray about it, will you please? And stand with them in this effort that God's filled their heart.
Working with the Crown Christian Heritage Trust, our goal is to help expand the ministry into Scotland. We will be involved in church planning, evangelistic Sunday schools, summer camps, vacation Bible schools, tent meetings, and street evangelism.
In the 1500s, John Knox prayed his famous prayer, "Give me Scotland or I die," and the Lord used him to lead the Reformation there, fueling a revival in his native country. In the early 1900s, a revival began in the Scottish islands of the Hebrides with the prayers of 2 elderly women. The result was a spiritual awakening that shook the country for Christ. Our prayer is that God would do it again. Would you partner with us in that prayer?
Amen. Thank you for allowing us to come in and to present. We're going to go ahead and turn into the Word of God here in Acts chapter number 4, if you have your Bibles with you. We're going to look at Acts chapter number 4. We truly are grateful for what the Lord is doing and that He's allowing us to be able to go and work alongside this team. Many times when a missionary goes, they're going on their own. And they don't really have someone to stand with them. And in Scotland, our team is not necessarily in Scotland just yet, but we do have that team that's there that's supporting us and encouraging us. Oftentimes, if I could maybe kind of clarify some things, when they have these church plants, what they'll do is they'll go and they'll have like a tent mission. And they'll just, the whole team will go in. Each of these pastors, they'll all go in and they'll encourage people. They'll go out and they'll leaflet. They'll give people gospel tracts. They'll encourage them to come to the tent meeting. They'll go out preaching and teaching just to kind of get things started, to let people know that we're in the area. And then as soon as we start to see a work begin, they'll kind of back off a little bit. Those pastors will back off and go back to their home churches. And then we would be left to lead in that work as the Lord leads us. And so it's just a wonderful organization that God has provided there that we can go and work alongside, and we're grateful for it. And again, also with the buildings, you know, that's not something that missionaries typically have either. Usually they have to go out and buy their own lumber and field and all that kind of stuff, but the Lord is really blessed in a great way, and we're grateful to Him for that. But anyhow, we'll get into the Word of God here. Acts chapter number 4, we're going to read several verses here just to kind of help us get some context of what we're talking about this morning, and then we'll go back and walk through it a little bit more. But Acts chapter number 4, beginning of verse number 1, it says, "And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, By what power, or by what name, have ye done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, Ye rulers of the people, and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all of them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let it straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. And we'll stop the reading there. I'd like to begin in a word of prayer. If you'll pray for me as I'm speaking, I would greatly appreciate it. Father, again, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for your goodness to us, for loving us, for providing us your word. Lord, I pray that you would help us to hear from it this morning. Please give me the words to say. Help me not say anything that I should not say. Lord, I pray that you would help us not to walk out of here empty-handed, but Lord, I pray that we would draw closer to you, that we would live lives that are pleasing to you. We thank you so much for each one that is here today, and Lord, if there's anyone that does not know you personally as their Savior, I pray that they would hear your gospel clearly and would respond to that. Lord, we thank you so much for everything that you do for us. Please forgive me where I fail you. We love you. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. We're looking here at Acts chapter number 4. There's a specific phrase that I'd like to point out to you this morning, and it's in verse number 13. It says, Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. That last phrase there, they had been with Jesus. These people who were surrounding them were people who did not like them. They didn't like what they were talking about. They didn't want them to talk about that anymore. But they noticed something different about Peter and John. They said, there's something different about them. They've been with Jesus. We can see that. It was in their life, as how they acted, the way that they talked, the things that they did. They could see by their testimony, these men, they have been with Jesus. I believe this morning that most of us, if not all of us, would agree that we want to have that kind of testimony. Amen. We want people, when they see us, to think, that person, they've been with Jesus.
Right.
They know who Jesus is.
Right.
And that's exactly the testimony that Peter and John here had. And you know, that's exactly what happens as we go through life. People, when they look at us, They relate us to other people. When I was younger, when someone would they just have to tell the truth all the time. I gotta be honest. We would call them Honest Abe. We related them to Honest Abe. Or perhaps they doubt it all the time. I doubt this is going to work out. I doubt this is going to happen. It's just not going to work out. We refer them to Doubting Thomas. It's just kind of, we relate people to other people. I had a friend that I went to school with, I went to college with. And he took education. When he finished school, he started teaching at a school. And we got an apartment together. I still had one semester left. And he was teaching at this school, working with these young people. He wanted them to know who Jesus was. He had a desire for them to know who Christ was and for them to live for the Lord. And so we'd come home and we'd talk about them. We'd pray about them. And it wasn't until a couple years later that I finally got to meet these young people. And I'm telling you, as soon as I met them, right off the bat, I could see that they've been spending time with my friend. Maybe a little too much time. Because from the things that they said, the way that they said it, even down to their very laugh, I could tell they've been spending time with my friend. And that's exactly what happens, isn't it? I don't know how many times I've been told, you're Joe McPike's son, aren't you? And you know what? That's an encouraging thing. I love being thought of as my dad's son. I think that's awesome. But there's no better person that we can be related to than the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think that's a very important thing that we must strive for, is Christ's likeness. To be holy. That's what God tells us in His Word. Be holy, for I am holy. We need to live a life like that so that people, when they see us, they're not just seeing us, but we're pointing them to Christ. And so I'd like to look at the life of Peter and John this morning and just kind of see a few things that occurred in their life that helped them come to this point. And we're going to go back to the book of Matthew, chapter number 4, and read a few verses here. Matthew, chapter number 4, we'll begin reading at verse number 18. And the first thing that I'd like for you to notice this morning is that they obeyed the call. I think oftentimes when we hear the word call, we start thinking about, you know, a call to missions, a call to be a pastor, a call to be whatever you can think of. This is a different kind of call. If you look with me at verse number 18, it says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father, and followed him." Now Jesus is calling these men, he's calling them, in verse number 19, to follow him, to be with him. You know, if you think about it, if he had just said, "I will make you fishers of men," they probably think, well, what does that mean? I will make you fishers of men. We're going to go cast a line out and draw a man in? Like, what is this? They needed someone to help them. They needed someone to teach them. And Jesus Christ is our greatest example. He says here, follow me. In other words, spend time with me. Let me show you what you need to do. Let me show you how to do it, how to respond, how to speak, what to say. Spend time with me. I want to read a verse to you from 1 Peter chapter number 2. It says, "For even hereunto," verse number 21, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps." Jesus Christ left us an example, and he left an example for these men. You think about it, these men got to walk alongside them, and it's kind of hard to think, you know, we don't have that same example, but we do. He's given us his word. We can get to his word and read his example right here. We have it with us. But we must take the time and spend time in his word to get to know him. Jesus has things for us to do, but how do we know how to do them if we don't spend time with him? It's kind of the same concept. You know, he talks about fishers of men. I personally, how many of you would say you like to fish? Anybody say that? Okay, there's a few of you. I do enjoy fishing, but I could not personally tell you that I know how to fish. Why is that? Because I haven't spent enough time with someone who knows how to fish. I could tell you that there are certain things that need to be done. There's a certain way that you're supposed to tie the knot in order to keep the hook on. There's a certain bait you're supposed to use to catch a certain kind of fish. There's all the different things to learn, but I don't know those things. I just know that those things exist. Yeah. I need someone that I can spend time with, that they could take the time and show me, this is what you need to do, this is how you do it. Jesus Christ is that person. And he wants to help you. And he's also given other people as well. We have a pastor here. He wants to do that. He wants to help us and show us from God's word. He learns it from Christ and then he shows it to us. But we must take that time. We must take that time to spend with Christ and to learn those things. If I could give a better example, my wife and I have been married for about 3 years now. It'll be 3 years in May. If on the day of our wedding, I said to my wife, all right, this is great. It's amazing. We're married now. Let's get back together in about a couple of weeks. We'll grab a cup of coffee, talk things over, and see how this thing works out. It probably wouldn't work out, would it? Why? Because I'm not spending time with her. And if I'm not spending time with her, I'm not getting to know her. I'm not getting to know her likes or dislikes. I'm not getting to know how to please her. Yeah. It takes time. Yeah. We must take that time. It's not just a, you know, pick up the Word of God. We read a chapter. We put it down. We go about our day. We don't ever think about anything again throughout the rest of the day. It's not going to work out very well. Reading the Word is very important. We must take that time, set that time aside that we do that. But it's also throughout the day that we're meditating on His Word. We're spending time with God. We're not leaving Him behind in the house. We're taking Him with us. You know, that's an encouraging thing. God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. But sometimes we forget that. And we just kind of leave Him behind thinking, oh, well, He's with the Word back there. No, we can take that with us. We can meditate on it. And we can live it out so that other people can see it. But in order for that to happen, what? We have to spend time with Christ. I'm going to hit on that over and over again as we go throughout the rest of this message. But we must spend time with Christ. And that can be in your daily devotions. That can be a time of study. That can be a time of where you come and you hear the Word of God preached. You come and hear the Word of God taught in Sunday school. We are given all kinds of opportunities. And we must take that time, not take it for granted. But these men, they obeyed the call. They spent time with Christ. But not only that, as they began to spend time with Christ, they learned what He wanted them to do. And as you read through the Word of God, you'll see all of these different things that God has for us, that He wants us to do. But I'm going to point out a very specific command that God has given to each and every believer. If you'll turn with me to Acts chapter 1, we're going to look at Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8. Not only did they obey the call to be with Him, to spend time with Him, but they also obeyed the command. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8, this is a very familiar verse. It says, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. He says there in that verse, ye shall be witnesses. That was not a question. It wasn't, you know, this is something nice that you could do. You could go and you know, maybe be a help if you teach them the word, it might help them. No. Ye shall be witnesses. This is something as Christians, as believers, that we must do because Christ has commanded it. And it's also an opportunity.
Amen.
We're not the only ones who get to hear the gospel and accept it. But we can go and tell others. And that is the command, to go. I had a misconception when I was younger that I thought, you know, if I just invite people to church, I've done my duty. And that is something nice that we can do. And it's something I think we should do. But that's not the end of it. What we are called to do is to go out into this world and preach the gospel wherever we are. As we go into our jobs, as we go into our workplaces, as we go into the stores, as we go into different places, wherever we are to give the gospel. As the Lord puts it on our hearts to speak to someone, we would be obedient and give the gospel. This is how they had that testimony. If you look at these next two chapters in Acts chapter number 2, the day of Pentecost, the events there that happened, it causes a crowd to come together. And what does Peter do? He sees that opportunity and he begins to preach. He gives the gospel. In Acts chapter number 3, again, the Lord uses Peter and John to heal this lame man. We were just reading about it in Acts chapter number 4. He uses Peter and John to heal this lame man who had been lame from birth. And people think, well, this is amazing. Let's go see what's going on. And as this crowd comes, Peter sees yet another opportunity and he preaches the gospel. He sees these opportunities and he's taking them because he took God at his word. He sees that God wants him to preach the gospel. Do we see that same thing? Do we know today that that is what God wants us to do wherever we are? As these opportunities are presented, are we taking them? Are we saying, yes, Lord, I love you, so I am going to be obedient. And I'm going to give the gospel. That's the example that Peter and John left for us, because they learned that from Christ. We can have that same testimony that they had if we obey the call and spend time with Christ. We can have that same testimony that they had if we are obedient and obeying the command. But not only that, it's not just that they obeyed the call, obeyed the command, but it's how they did that. If you look with me back in Acts chapter number 4 again, I want you to notice that they obeyed with confidence. We're going to read through, again, a majority of these verses just to kind of help us see what we're talking about here. But again, in Acts chapter number 4, verse number 1, "And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide." So these people, they didn't like them. They didn't like what they were saying. They made them stop, and they took them and they put them in kind of like a prison. And the next day, they're holding a trial for them. These are people that don't like them, and they have the ability to harm them. They can. And they're going to threaten them. These are the people that are surrounding them at this moment. In verse number 5, it says, "And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem, all these people who do not like them. And they ask," in verse number 7, "and when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have ye done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them," at this point, he could say whatever he wants to, and he could get out of the situation. Yeah. Whatever he wants to. But what does he say? "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." In verse number 13, you'll notice it says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John." That word boldness there has kind of two meanings. One is courage. I think that's the one that most of us go to when we think of boldness is courage. And we do need courage as we give the gospel. That is true. But it also has another meaning, and that is confidence. And it's not confidence in self. It's not confidence in that I can speak well. It's not confidence that I have the strength to do this. And it's not in self. It's not in me. It's confidence in Christ and knowing what he has done is true. It is the truth. It's confidence in him. And because of that confidence, we can boldly proclaim the truth just as they did right here amongst all these people who don't like them, who want to harm them. They didn't shy away from it. As a matter of fact, we'll read again in the next several verses. Verse number 15. "But when they commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them, is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further amongst the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." They couldn't help it. Why? Because they had spent time with Christ. They had seen him work in their life. And because of that, they had confidence in him. And they were able to speak boldly. It says there, "We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." Have you seen Christ work in your life? Have you seen him use his word in your life? The gospel, where we find the gospel. Can you now take that and with confidence and say, this is what Christ has done for me. He can do it for you as well. I kind of skipped over this at the beginning. I'm going to go ahead and go back to it. Before we can have this relationship with Christ, before we can get to this point where Peter and John are, something must take place. And it's exactly what we're talking about here. We must accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. It's hard to tell someone else about what Christ has done for you if you've not accepted Him, if you've not seen Him do that work in your own life. Sometimes we get to that point and we think that's the end of it. I had the opportunity when I was 16 years old to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I came to a point where I realized that I am a sinner. And because of my sin, I have a debt to pay, and that debt is death and hell. But Jesus Christ came to earth. He died on a cross. He was buried and He rose again, paying my sin debt so that I don't have to go to hell, but I can go to heaven and live with Him for eternity. Jesus Christ came and did that for me.
Amen.
And it wasn't the faith of my parents. My parents are both Christians. They brought me up in church. But it wasn't their faith. It wasn't the faith of my pastor. It wasn't the words to a prayer that I said. It wasn't the baptism. It was what Jesus Christ did for me on the cross. And I was able to accept that free gift of salvation. And now because I have done that, it doesn't stop there. But I can grow in that relationship with Christ. And I can now go and tell what Christ has done for me to others. But again, that can only happen if we've spent time with Him. Have we seen what He's done for us? It's hard to teach someone what you don't haven't experienced yourself.
That's right. Amen.
We must spend time with Christ. If I could, I want to clarify this point just a little further. If you'll turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter number 1. I'm going to read a few verses there, and then we're going to turn to 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 13. Our time with Christ is so essential. We cannot skip that. We cannot take it for granted. Luke chapter 1 and verse number 1, it says, "For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most assuredly believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things which thou hast been instructed." Again, in 1 John 5, verse 13, it says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." I'd like to encourage you this morning with these verses that we don't have to doubt.
That's right.
We don't have to wonder.
Right.
Is this true? Is what Pastor's saying, is that true? Is what Chris McPike is saying, is that true? We can look for ourselves in the Word of God and see. We can have certainty. We can know that what God has done, what we're teaching, what we're preaching, these things are true. And as we read in God's Word and we see these things for ourselves, when we begin to test those things, we see the truth in them.
Yeah, praise God.
We have God's Word. We don't have to doubt it. But are we taking that time? Are we spending time with Christ so that we can have that confidence in Him? And as we have that confidence in Him, we can take that and share the truth with others. I wonder how often we have people who are right in front of us that need the gospel. We shy away from speaking to them because we don't have that confidence. Because we haven't spent that time in God's Word that we need to be. This is a very simple message this morning, but if we could truly just get a grasp, take a hold of it, and really apply it to our lives, I truly believe it would change each and every one of us.
Amen.
We must spend time with Christ. And as we do that, we learn more about Him. As we learn more about Him, we want to obey Him because we love Him. And we share with others what He has done for us. We begin to see others' lives changed. Just as Pastor's been talking to us this morning, seeing lives changed in this very church. I know many of you have a wonderful testimony how God has saved you. Now we need to turn around and tell others.
That's right.
Thank God that we have that opportunity.
Right. Amen.
I'm going to close in a word of prayer. And I hope that we think about this, that this isn't just something that we take and we say, okay, I'm going to follow God, and then we leave that here today. Because this is something that we must decide each and every day. We must get up in the morning and say, Lord, I want to do whatever you have for me to do today.
Yeah.
And trust him to help you with that. We must take that time and spend time with him. Father, again, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you that we have this opportunity to read it, to understand it, and to apply it. Lord, help us to be faithful to do so, so that we can go out and teach others also. Lord, we thank you for each one that is here this morning. And again, if there is someone here today that does not know you as their personal Savior, please don't let them leave without talking to somebody first. Thank you, Lord, for everything that you do for us. We love you. In Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.